Please turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll read verses 37 through 47 for our text this morning. Acts chapter 2, 37 through 47. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, I want to talk to you this morning about the church. And a couple weeks ago, if you remember, I started trying to deal with a series I've entitled The Church, The Church. Not necessarily the Church Universal or the Statesboro Primitive Baptist Church, but maybe we could say the true church, let's call it that. The church is a powerful organization, the most powerful in this earth, the church of the living God. The church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. God loves his church, even though she still has lots of flaws. And we ought to love his church too. And so we talked the other day about the glory in the church. Today I want to talk about grace in the church. Grace in the church. Now, what is grace? And I think you can see with my text what grace is. These people recognized they were sinners, and they recognized that Jesus Christ was Lord of all, that he had died for their sins, and it broke their heart, and they did something about it. They did something about it that is most profound. If grace means anything to you, you'll do something about it. And that's what the church is for. The church does not save you. The church sustains you, though. And we need sustaining grace. When we invite somebody to church, or when we go to church, we don't go to church to lead them to Jesus or ourselves. We go to follow Jesus. And we go because we need the church. We need the church to keep us from drifting. We need the church to strengthen our spiritual fervor in the Lord. Now, if you're here today and you're thinking about backing off a little bit about the church, I pray that you would rethink it by God's grace. I pray that if you're here today and you've not been quietly committed to the church, most of us are not, I pray that God's grace would spur that in, because here's what grace is. Grace is not a get out of jail free card. You hear me? Grace is not something that we say, well, I'm saved by grace. I don't have to go to church on Sunday because I'm not living under the law. I'm under grace, you know. No, no, grace is a transformation. Grace is shocking. That's what it is. And so I want to see if God would help us today look at this business of grace in the church. And I want to say three things from this text. Number one is, grace is in the church is where, or the church rather, is where grace is experienced. Have you experienced grace? You may not. And if you haven't, then God forbid what I can do for you. I mean, you know, you're going to go to God with this. I mean, I can't make you feel your need of the church, but grace can, okay? Also, I want you to see with me, and we see here that this is the first church in Jerusalem in the New Testament where grace is expressed. This is how the grace is expressed. How was it expressed? It was expressed by baptism, the Lord's Supper, fellowship, and prayer. And that's what grace is about. That's why we need to be strengthened. And also, I want us to see lastly, maybe briefly, but that grace is exposed in the church. That is, it's revealed. It's how we take the bushel off our lamp. It's how we shine for Jesus. That's what grace does. And what a blessing to see that in the Lord, goodness and grace today. I want to talk again about grace in the church because it is so important that we see that importance of the Lord's church. And we don't talk about this enough. Now if you're thinking about this, well, here, preacher, you just don't like the church, so you get people to join the church. You're exactly right. You need to be committed to God's church. You need to be baptized if you love the Lord in water. You need to do that publicly. You say, well, I don't like to come before people. That don't make a rip. What you need to understand is that God loves you. And that he's called you out of nature's darkness. See, grace in the church is a manifestation of what we love the most. That's really what it is. I'm going to talk about a couple people in the church today, but they're here. So I'm not talking behind their backs. I'm going to say that church and the experience we have in God's grace, first of all, has a profound influence of how we do life because it has to do, you know why? With a relationship with God. Your relationship with God is the most important relationship you have. And if you get that right, everything other relationship will be right. It will be better anyway, I guarantee you. And the church, because God set it up, and I'm talking about the organized church here, God set it up for a purpose, to worship him, to hear his word preached, to fellowship with believers, to be baptized, and to participate in the Lord's Supper. All those things help us strengthen our relationship with God. See, the church is not some sort of social club. It's not some sort of mall you go to decide what you want. I mean, no, it is about serving God. This church, the grace of God, is about what God has done for us. It's not about us, it's about God. That's what grace is. A church that is a grace church is a church about Jesus. The best way to spell grace is G-E-S-U-S. That's what grace is. It's Jesus. And these people here at Pentecost heard about Jesus. And this Holy Spirit put it in their hearts. And they were pricked in their hearts. And they repented. And they said, what can I do? And Paul said, or Peter rather said, you can be baptized. Repent and be baptized. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now they were baptized because they were saved by God's grace. You see, that's what that does. Baptism does not save you. Baptism, though, is the expression of that salvation ministered in the church. And so we need that, and what a blessing that is, and what a joy that ought to be for us to have. So grace experience, we would say, the church. What does that, mean? I mean, you know, we're living in a world, do you know, you being here today in a church service, you are in the minority. I was reading this week in a recent Gallup poll of only about 30% of Americans go to church. And God has commanded us to go to church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 are explicit commands that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. But you be thankful that it's God's grace that is the reason you're here. You hear me? That's why you're here. There are people that probably are listening to this service that can't go to church, but they have experienced grace. They've been in churches before, I guarantee you. And if they could go, they would. We ought to go to church because this here's it. See, the church, and I'm talking about grace in the church, is a means of grace. That is the local church. I'll put that one in there. It's a means of grace. It's a vehicle, in other words. It's just like this. If you and I, and we kind of like this, we're hitchhikers in this world. We're going somewhere. God has destined us to glory. But we're hitchhikers. Some of us are limpers. And what happens is grace, God gives us a local church. It's like a vehicle comes by and picks us up, offers us a ride. So what do? You get in the car or the truck. You get in the church, the vehicle of the means of God's grace, and you don't get in with your leg hanging out or you're hanging half out the window. You get in and you lock it up and you'll be committed to the ride that God gives. That's what the church does. It is a means of grace. It's where we experience the goodness and the graciousness of God. See, it's not a place where we just ignore sin. And no, it is a place that sin is taken seriously. Because grace teaches us that the real problem is not some sort of psychological or how to live good or how to make you feel good. It is sin. And we got to deal with sin in our lives. And that's what grace teaches us. And that's what the church ought to be about. I had a guy one time years ago, and it always breaks my heart. Anytime anybody leaves the church, but he left the church, and I went and met with him. And in our conversation, he said, you know, you just preach too much about sin. You know, I've often thought that's probably one of the greatest compliments I ever got. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I love that brother, still do. But when I'm saying this, you got to understand grace. You got to understand sin because before you understand grace, you see these people, their hearts were broken. And that's why God's church is a place that we come. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. It doesn't matter what you got or haven't got. What matters is God has pricked your heart and God has given you His Spirit. And so it's a body of believers. It's a body of Christ. And God has called us, and what a blessed privilege it is to go to church. He's sitting here today, but several years ago the church is a means of grace because it encourages people that have experienced God's grace. And Brother Scott Waters is here and his family, and I remember, and some of you would do the same thing, but I remember several years ago, he was speaking one night, and he was in the hall, and he was coaching baseball that year, and Case and his son was playing, and they had played a Saturday game, and that game was postponed because of the weather. And I remember Brother Scott sharing with me right in the hall. Now, this is how powerful grace is. He says, Brother Randy, I'm here, he said, but I want to tell you what happened. See, the organization of the baseball, they said, well, I've got to tell you, we're going to have the game tomorrow. To which Brother Scott replied, only one problem with that, I'm not going to be there. Wait a minute, you're the coach. And your son is one of our best players. Scott said, it doesn't matter. We got church. I'm going to be in church. You understand what that means? That means that what Brother Scott said was that the church meant more to him than a baseball game. The church meant more to him. The church needs to mean more to us than anybody else. It's the one place. You know why? It's a means of grace that we can exhibit, do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or do we love our dog the most? Or our cat? Or our cows? Or our children? See, grace is motivational. Grace is shocking. Again, it is where mercy shuts the door of hell but opens the door of heaven. I mean, the church is not some sort of play party, okay? It is a serious endeavor to get closer to God, to come to grips with who He is and who we are, and to love Him and one another. And it doesn't mean you're going to have problems, trials. But we need the church. It is where grace is experienced. And that transforming grace. You see, here's the deal with grace as I understand it. Grace is how God pursues us. And He is a relentless pursuer. Do not try to run from God. Okay? And when God gets us, He will not let us go. He won't. And what a wonderful privilege we have. I pray that you can see it today. Thank you, God, for giving me a passion or desire for your church. We come to church to worship God, not to listen to a preacher. We come to church because we love God. And because we want our relationship right with Him, that we can love one another. And we find forgiveness. And our faith is increased. It's how we balance our life, and we need that so desperately. Secondly, it's where grace is expressed. From this text I mentioned just a minute ago, this church, Jerusalem. And I said this, and I'll read it in verse 42. This is how the church was being expressed, this church of grace. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's what a church does. Why? Because of grace. Baptism. Let's talk about that in a minute. Baptism. We know from Romans 6 that because of grace we've been baptized, spiritually baptized, with Christ. When He died, we died. And what is so amazing about grace, even again shocking, is that God accounted us to do just what Jesus did. Do you know that you have the righteousness of Christ? Do you realize that this church of grace, you are associated with people who have the same Jesus in their heart that saved you? That's right, and we can rejoice in that. And we ought to respect that. But baptism is an ordinance of God's church. And it's an expression of grace. I mean, Jesus, His last words, He says, go into all the world, teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, grace is a manifestation of the triune God and His part in our salvation. That is, God chose us. He gave us to His Son, who went to the cross for us, and His Holy Spirit pricks our hearts and notifies us of His grace. So baptism, it's an attestation of our new life that we have in Christ. And we're baptized not to be saved, but because we are. Jesus Christ not only went to church, we find in Luke 4, but he was baptized. Have you been baptized in water? And we ought not to have to think about it too long if you love the Lord. And don't tell me, you know, well, I don't have to. You don't. You sure don't. I mean, the thief on the cross never was baptized. He's in heaven right now, but I guarantee you, if he had an opportunity right now to get off that cross he was nailed to, he would have got baptized first. You see, what God calls us to do is publicly say that we're willing to believe by His grace what He's done for us on the cross, by the death, burial, and His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what symbolically water baptism is. Okay? It does not cleanse us from sin. Only the blood of Jesus does that. It does, however, give us a clear conscience. And we want to thank God for the grace that He's given us to want it. And you know why we should do it? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's one of them. Do you know if we're not keeping His commandments, we're sinning? We don't like to think about that. But that's what a grace church is about. Dealing with things in our life that inhibit our relationship to Almighty God. And I guarantee you, sin will separate us from God. Always has, always will. He's holy. We sung the song. It's like a marriage. Many years ago, Penny stood and I stood before two preachers in a church of folks down at Upper Black Creek Church, and she was not ashamed to take my name. She was not. She said it publicly. And we exchanged rings. Baptism is like exchanging a ring. It's understanding that you're married to Christ. But if you're married to Him and you believe in Him, don't just be a living Christian marrying, okay? Be committed to Him. Express the grace that's in your heart. It is the most perfect witness that any preacher, any sermon can be preached, or any person can do, is water baptism. And the Lord's Supper? I mean, that was given in the context of the church, not privately. What does the Lord's Supper do? It's grace. What do we do in the Lord's Supper? We recognize Jesus' death for us, the power of His blood. That's what we do. We need to be reminded of that, and we need to reenact that as much as we can in our spiritual lives. And the church gives us that, and what a blessing it is. You know, if you like the Georgia Bulldogs or the Atlanta Braves or the Falcons, you probably got some shirts at your house or hats, and you don't have any problem making people know who you're a fan of. See, what I'm going with this is the church, this place of grace, is where we express what God has done for us. You've all heard the baptismal definition, and I believe it's a good one. It's an outward expression of an inward grace. That's what it is. And you don't have to do it. You don't. That's not going to keep you out of heaven. That's not going to make you any worse than anybody else or anybody else any better. It's not. But I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to glorify God. It's going to nurture the foundational principles of your faith and you being able to take a stand for Christ. Because if you do not stand for something, you will fall for anything or you will be inclined to. And then the glass, grace exposed. I wanted to point that out. It exposes grace, the church does. It's a revelation of God's miraculous work in our hearts. You know, people that we're sitting with here today, it's just a miracle It really is. And we need to so appreciate that in our lives. Fellowship. You know, only a believer can have fellowship. Now, you can socialize all you want. But fellowship is understandable that we need that because we need to be strengthened. See, God captures us by His grace. He don't leave us alone. You know, I remember years ago, I was down in Long County and I was working with some timber folks down there, and they had trapped some wild hogs. And they had these hogs in this pen, and I'd seen them several days. And then one day I was talking to one of the owners. I said, what happened to you? And they got rid of all them. People wanted them. They cut the pen down. There was just one hog in there. And I went by there and I said, Mr. Howard, what happened to that hog? He said, you know, he died. And he said, I think he died from grief. That's what that man told me. He said, I think he just grieved himself to death. When I sold all those other hogs, he said, that hog just said we'd quit eating. He wouldn't do anything. He died. Do you know that we need the interaction of God's people in our lives? I know it helps me. I know it helps you. I mean, prayer. I have pulled over to the side of the road and had prayer with people, and I know you have too. I mean, that is what the church does. That's what grace does, and that's why we need a church family. Brother Roy Johnson called me the other day. He said, Randy, I just need to talk to you. I'm missing Carlene. I'm sitting here out here on this porch. I said, I'll tell you, Brother Roy, I'm going to come in and sit with you. That's what I plan to do. That's what grace is about. That's what the church does. Another one of the church I want to mention, I know I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Sister Carolyn Gay, I remember when we was having COVID, and you know the church shut down, so to speak. We was trying to follow the protocol. Nobody could assemble together. I don't believe the church has ever got over that, by the way. I don't. But I remember Sister Carolyn called me one afternoon and she said, Brother Randy, could I ask you something? I said, yes, ma'am, anything. She said, I know we can't go to church, but she said, can I just go and just sit in the church one afternoon by myself? Just to be in there. I just want to go and just feel the presence of God. And I never forgot her telling me that. I mean, that is something that's needful in our lives. You know, and I know preachers' kids get picked on, but I tell you, my daughter Sarah, Jennifer, and Ashley, I love them all. And they all, I'm thankful they love the Bible and God's Word. But I remember Sarah when she went to University of Georgia. I mean, some of you have done this. You leave your children at UGA. You get on that road between Athens and Washington, 72 maybe, whatever it is. You get to thinking if you did the right thing or not. You get to thinking, I mean, you know. Probably because you think about things you did when you were there. But I remember that day. It's not that my daughter Sarah or any of them else done anything wrong. But still, that's there. And I never forget one day after she'd been there a few weeks. I never did call her a lot, but I remember I purposely called her one Friday evening at about 7 o'clock. I wanted to know what she was doing. And I remember calling her. I never forget what she said. I kind of had a cracked voice, and I said, Sarah, what are you doing? She said, Daddy, I'm walking up the steps of the Rhema Primitive Baptist Church. Her and Philip were dating then, and she had gone over that week to be with Philip. They were having a meeting. You talking about making a daddy feel good? You talking about making your mama feel good? Or even, you just get hooked up in that church. I mean, there's something about the grace of God that is powerful in our lives and that sustains us. That's what we need, sustaining grace. We're not only saved by grace, but God sustains us by His grace. He does that in His local church or in the church in general, and we're all supposed to be good stewards of His grace. Don't waste God's grace. I feel like I waste a lot of it. If you've got a Bible, it's a great gift of God. You see the gifts, Josh and others, in the church. You get exposed to it. You get to understand that's the symbolism of God's church, how we're strengthened. May the Lord bless us, keep us close to Him. Thank you for your commitment to the church, by the way. I don't say that enough. But I guarantee you, we all need spurring on. And if you're here today and you want to be a member of the church, I don't mean to spiritually say we just want members, but I want to tell you what. I believe that God intended, that's what happened in Acts 2. These people were recognized as a community of believers, as a church, when they were baptized. And they were inactive with the community of believers. And that's what we need. Sure, you can live by yourself and you don't have to have the church. I know that, but I'm going to tell you, it's a great blessing. I'll tell you what it happens with the church. It can make the hardest place in your life the sweetest. It can. That's what church does. That's what grace does. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of the church. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to serve you, or at least try to. Thank you, Lord, for the honor and yet the humbleness of trying to proclaim your precious word. Thank you for leaving us a record of how to do church. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a desire, for pricking our hearts, for making us feel guilty when we don't do right. But bring us, Lord, to the strength and courage to put all that stuff down and just go ahead and serve you and get in the vehicle that you've given us in means of grace. And Lord, I pray that we realize we'll never get anything out of something we don't put something in. It will cost us our time. But Lord, if something doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth much. The church cost you the blood of your beloved Son. Dear Lord, help us to appreciate that enough to serve you and love you in the places that you give us and the people you've put in our paths to encourage us and encourage them. And the fickleness of life is so paramount in our world that we have such a stable place to find foundational living based on the blood of Christ and the creed of the apostles. Thank you for your written word. Thank you for writing it on our heart. Thank you for displaying it in our lives, in your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.